Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Detroit's declaration of bankruptcy this summer opened the floodgates for stories of its decline. Documentary films, photo essays, and articles reveal a once proud American city, home to the world's highest paid workers and a strong middle class, as a shell of its former self. Some residents are finding hope among the abandoned neighborhoods, crumbling municipal buildings, and rusting car factories that once made the Motor City hum.
There's 44 square miles of vacant land in Detroit. You don't need a title or a deed. Just go up to one of those burned out, bombed out houses that you see when you drive by at 55 miles an hour. You can slow down. You can stop. You can plant a garden. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
That's musician and urban farmer Tommy Spaghetti singing about the opportunities for a new Detroit product, food. Urban Roots is a documentary following the urban farming phenomenon in Detroit, where rows of dark soil and fresh vegetables are transforming the blighted landscape. I spoke with Matthew Schmidt when the film came out in 2011 about the seeming paradox of urban farming and what makes Detroit a seedbed for the movement.
Well, Detroit has experienced sort of a exodus for the last 50 years. We would sum it up as the collapse, I guess, of the auto industry and other industries that supply the auto industry, leaving basically Detroit half empty or even less than half. And it's a model city. It's been always looked at negatively as sort of a collapsed city or about to collapse. But it really is a city where there's a lot of new hope. There's a lot of things that can be done that in other cities cannot be done.
And there's a lot of abandoned lots. I mean, we see several of them, overgrown places throughout the film. And food becomes the connection here. Deeply symbolic. A lot of people chip in, multi-generational, multiracial, some volunteers, some community people, farming to feed the surrounding communities. The big winners here are kids. Now, we hear in the film that 46.6% of children are living below the poverty line. Here's a little bit of illumination of that problem.
We try to teach children where food comes from. It's very, very important to know where food comes from and to know that somebody works mighty hard somewhere. Every time your elbow bend, your mouth fly open and food go in, somebody work real hard to produce that.
And I'm like, well, where does potatoes come from? And they'll say McDonald's. Children go to school in the morning and they'll stop by the gas station, get their breakfast, which is probably pop and a honey bun for breakfast.
So, Matthew, honey buns for breakfast. Detroit is one of those urban places that is described as a food desert. Tell us briefly what that means.
I like to add the word fresh food desert, too, because there's always convenience stores where you can pick up a can of soup. But how fresh is it? How healthy is it? And how local is the food that you can? But the definition of a food desert is basically that if you have to drive 2-3 miles to reach a decent grocery store where you can basically go shop and provide staples for your house. And in cities like Detroit, most people don't even have cars. So to reach a grocery store, you know, we have like five, where I live, we have like 5 or 6 Whole Foods just in the neighborhood.
You're in what, L.A.?
In L.A., in Santa Monica. It's not available. Now, there's a lot of political talk. You know, they say, oh, there's a convenience store and there's a gas station, you can get food. And I think that's what's discussed in the film. But a Twinkie is not considered food. It can hold you over maybe for an hour or two, but it's not something you can build a life on. So in sort of a more philosophical way, that's what how I would look at, you know, the definition of a food desert. Detroit is a very large.
Yeah, it could fit, what, a city of San Francisco, Boston, and Manhattan, and it's just a sprawling...
Yeah, that sink in, I know.
A sprawling city. Yeah. So there are several farms that have popped up, most of them organic farms run on very small scale, D-Town Farm, Brother Nature Produce. Greg Willerer, he runs Brother Nature Produce. He's among those working with kids and also challenging himself to make a living off of what he says, an acre of land, and trying to make organic produce as affordable as conventional produce. Is that possible? I mean, can these farms be competitive?
That's the big question about local economy, a sustainable community where the individuals do not work for a living in the sense that they go get minimum wage and then they have to have 2 or 3 different jobs and they can't take care of their kids. The idea that Greg Willerer so beautifully puts in the film is, can I raise a family on an acre of farm? And he thinks it's possible. However, what needs to happen is there needs to be people who would like to have his food.
Mm.
You know, who want to have his basil, who want to have broccoli, who want to have the greens or garlic, and use it and pay a, and this is so interesting, and pay a respectful price.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is, what is that? You know, is that, how does it compare with the garlic from China, which in the movie comes out to be like this ridiculous thing? How can we have garlic from China if we can grow it here, you know, in Detroit?
There's also, we see the Field of Our Dreams delivery service, making money, doing very well, delivering produce to homes. And,
yeah.
And also it's run by a recovering alcoholic and drug addict. So turning lives around, not just turning land around.
Exactly.
I there was a comment from, I think it's Doug Bennett. He was a skilled tradesman, worked on the assembly lines. Here's his vision of how things have changed for him.
The way I see people work on the line, I don't work half as hard in the dirt. Don't get me wrong, it is hard work, but it's not repetitious and paceful work. It's at your own leisure, your own pace, and you see your work, your profits, your growth, your everything, whereas the truck you build in the plant is out the door in somebody else's hands. You don't know what that product is like when he gets it, whereas people come back and say, yeah, I ate some of your tomatoes and they were great, or your microgreens are the best that I've had, you know, where you get self-satisfaction, not somebody else's.
It is really profound to consider this shift from an industrial model in that city, especially Detroit, built on the industrial model. There's a kind of tension to scale up here in the film. We see a little bit, this is Matt Allen of Hance Farms. He has a goal of creating 24/7 year-round production farms.
We're going to have 24/7 growing operations, 12 months out of the year. We're going to have indoor through hoop structures, non-heated greenhouses, if you will, and outdoor as well. And with staggered growing operations, we're going to be able to fill the wholesale and institutional market needs of our community. If I'm the big guy who has the ability to pick, clean, grade, package, and distribute food, okay, the small guy that doesn't have the ability to do the trucks, the packaging, the distribution, he can aggregate or she can aggregate their product to market with me.
So Matt Allen is offering, you know, a sort of aggregation distribution service. What's at stake here? A lot of people who work in this economy have been burned once by sort of combining all of their energies in one industry. And there's a sort of mistrust of the government. There's a sort of mistrust of aggregating. What's going on here?
I think the bigger picture is, you know, cities are corporations, and the corporate mindset is just so deeply, we're so deeply entrenched in that, in the corporate mindset. And as positive and as good as it is, if they take those lots and as a corporation, they're answering to shareholders. They're answering to a different thing than the individual person who has a plot of land and who wants to raise his family and wants to make a living. So the city really has to look out and say, okay, so here's all these vacant lots. What can we do with them? And not wait for a Sam's Club or a Walmart or a Matt Allen to come in and take over large plots of land, but really enable the people that live there to make a living and create a community where they can raise their kids, send the kids to school, and heal. I think the healing is a big part that we start to understand, that putting your hands in the earth, putting your hands in the earth is healing. It's a way back to yourself. It's a way back to your family, to your friends, and to your community. And that needs to be encouraged, and those codes need to be put into the city code, so everybody starts having, you know, getting what they need.
That was my earlier conversation with Matthew Schmidt, co-producer, along with Layla Connors of Urban Roots. The film was directed by Mark McInnes and is now available on DVD. And here's an update since we spoke. In April of this year, Detroit passed an urban agricultural ordinance, the result of a long collaboration between city zoning officials and numerous organizations and community action groups, some of which were in the film. The ordinance addresses a variety of gardening and farming practices, allowing urban farming by right in all six of the city's residential districts. We posted more on the growth of urban farming in Detroit at wordofmouthradio.org, where we've also posted a trailer for Urban Roots, a link to the film's website, and a photo essay on the city's decline.